It's time to pick up your press pass. A look at high school, college, and pro sports impacting the Texas Panhandle with your host, Cale Steed, sports reporter for the Amarillo Globe News, and Craig Speary of the Happy Sports Network.
It's the Press Pass. It's Thursday, October 5th. It's Craig Speary, Cale Steed, and the great Luke Kinsey sitting in for us, co-hosting this week. Good to have you, Luke.
Great to be here with both of you guys. I'm a fan of the show. Listen to the podcast, and I love football. Love high school football. Love college football as well. So, yeah, it's great to be here.
And Luke Kinsey, for y'all that don't know, is the play-by-play announcer for the West Texas A&M Buffaloes. Stampede, baby.
That's right. Stampede, baby.
And been doing it 2 years now.
Yeah.
And
yes,
a graduate of West Texas A&M from Beaver, Oklahoma.
That's right.
A fighting Duster.
Yeah, well, the Dusters are
struggling this year,
Cale. But
man, did you love playing the Beaver Hooker game? I just got to ask you.
Cale, this is a
this is a PG-13
yeah,
show, Cale.
We don't want to go there, okay?
No, but you do. Seriously, great job, Luke.
I appreciate
big
it.
Big fan of you. We do a Buff Talk together, too. Yeah. A little cheap pop here for the Twitterverse. But, Luke, do a great job every week. You and Bryce, big fan of listening to you and getting your knowledge every week on the Buffs. And that's what we should start right into, Craig, don't you think?
Oh, I agree, definitely. Let's talk about the Buffs. They another hard loss,
yeah,
this past week, 28-14 in the Wagon Wheel. Especially tough to watch the kids from New Mexico run the hill, go get the,
yeah,
Wagon Wheel, and just tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, you know, that game, again, like some of the games that we've had earlier this year, Craig, is frustrating because you see that the Buffs are so close. 7-0 lead late in the third quarter, and really they were hanging on with the defense. The offense was struggling all night, but still they led 7-0, and then an interception turned things around. You know, WT,
yeah,
throws an interception. Brad Harden steps in front of a pass, intercepts at Eastern New Mexico. Kamal Cass runs into the end zone a few plays later, and you just saw the momentum change. I mean, you looked over, you saw Eastern New Mexico's crowd, which was a good crowd for them.
Great
from
crowd.
Portales. They got into it. Their defense really stepped up from that point on. NWT just couldn't get anything going. They end up losing 28-14, and gosh, that was tough. And I say that a couple of those games have been so close, but this game we started to see, Cale, some pieces that just are not there quite yet for WT, and that's with the running game. They finished the game, they only had 38 rushing yards. They had 116 passing yards, but a lot of that came on their last drive. So they're just struggling with what they want to do, and that's be physical up front.
Mm-hmm. It is, and then that goes back to injuries.
Yeah.
You know, Nene, how do you say his first name?
Nate Nanai.
Nate Nanai has been out since week one. He's a great guard. And then they had another guard out, Kamine Johnson.
Yeah, Kamine Johnson.
Kamine Johnson's out. And you've got some young guys in there filling guard positions that,
sure,
just aren't maybe not ready, wouldn't have to start if they didn't have to. But also, too, you were wondering, the defense played so well, you,
yeah,
were just wondering how long they could keep that up. But the running back positions, you got two true freshmen trying,
yeah,
to run that. And that other freshman at quarterback, it's just so hard. It's growing pains,
yeah,
and that's just what we expected with this Buff team, and that's what you're just going to get right now, you know.
Well,
so
it's awfully tough, especially when you change from the philosophy, and you and I talked about this on Monday, you change from the philosophy of let's throw it all over the field,
right,
to let's ground and pound everybody.
Sure.
That takes time. You can't – that's two totally different kids that are being recruited. And you know, you and I talked about it, the tackle – he came in. He was a ground and pound guy. He goes to the air raid.
Yeah, Travis Bourne
struggles trying to block at that. Now he's happy back blocking how,
yeah,
he is. But there's guys that have been brought in, and that's not how they were recruited in. They recruited in to block via the air raid. Now you go ground and pound. That's a totally different kid, and you can go out and get a totally different kid. Which honestly, in my opinion, it might be easier to go find some real gems as he recruits going forward, because everybody's looking for air raid talent. Now you can go out and go get some of those guys that are real grinders.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy who's a little undersized as far as height goes, but a little bigger in girth. But you can pound up the middle with those kind of guys.
And they are. And there's guys that they have redshirted that they're just not playing right now because they're,
yeah,
building for – they're not building for today. They're building for tomorrow. And That's one thing I know that Hughes is working on.
And the other side to this, guys, is Eastern New Mexico. They have had years to get that system in place.
They
have the linemen that they want. They have the talented running backs that they want. And you finish the game, they're number one in the nation in time of possession. Well, they own the football. They had it for 39 minutes plus, 84 plays that they ran.
Yeah.
They had, in the fourth quarter alone, 180 yards of offense in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they wore on the defense. The defense was on the field way too much, and that's where WT's got to get better, and I think they will. I think they'll get better. The coaching staff is doing a good job.
Oh, yeah.
They got to get those guys in place, though.
Kudos to Kelly Lee, too. The guy is such a good football coach over at Eastern, and they didn't miss a beat because he was the offensive coordinator. So it's not like they missed anything when Josh Lynn left. He just went right in and just had that offense rolling.
And their defense, I talked about this a lot on the broadcast, they had a new defensive coordinator. They had a new defensive line coach. Ivan Cordova is their defensive
coordinator. And then they had Charlie Rizzio, the D-line coach who was here last year.
Yes, and they had a great game plan. They did a really good job. They made it tough on WT all night.
And, you know, you think about it, Portales, that's a tough place to recruit kids into.
Oh, it's so tough.
I mean, people always talk about, well, it's hard to get kids to go into Tech. Try and recruit into Portales.
Yeah.
The new stadium does help, but, yeah, there's nothing – I mean, it's hard things to do in Portales.
I've got a cousin who coaches Division I women's basketball. He's actually up in the northwest or northeast right now. He was in Portales for about a week. Over a summer, and then he took a different job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. But you know, hopefully the Buffs could turn it around. You know, Kingsville, they'll beat Kingsville. Long road trip, you'll have that game on 98.7 Lone Star.
Yep.
Now, Kingsville's offense has struggled just as bad as the Buffs. They haven't scored more than two touchdowns in a game all season. They're 1-4, too, right?
Yes, they are. And it's interesting, Kale, because I'm looking at their team stats and for the season. They are putting up yardage. In fact, last week against Anselm State, 500 yards. They're running the football, but they're having problems with two things: with turnovers and with penalties.
Yeah.
They're averaging a lot of penalties. And then last week they had a fumble. They had two interceptions. So Anselm State capitalized on that. But yeah, they're 1-4. The Buffs are 2-3. Both teams still looking for. Well, Kingsville's looking for their first conference win.
Right.
Buffs have won at over UT Permian Basin, but this will be a tough one. This will be a game where both teams are trying to bounce back, not only physically but mentally as well.
Yeah, we'll have to see how the Buffs turn around. There is a big one though in the LSC, Craig, this week.
Huge game because I was going to say, if you look at the conference standings, it's really become the haves and the have-nots.
Right. Exactly.
Very quickly, Tarleton, Commerce, Midwestern, and Eastern New Mexico, and then everybody else.
Exactly. And it's kind of right now, in my opinion, it's still Commerce and everybody else.
Yeah.
But we won't know until this weekend.
And they have to travel to Wichita Falls.
Right.
Never an easy place to play.
And, you know, Midwestern just plays Commerce to the bone every year, to the final whistle single year. And first I want to say it was awesome to see Midwestern get back on the field after that tragedy. But it was awesome to see them get back out there, because how hard would it be to see, you know, get back out there and play where that tackle happened?
Yeah.
You know, and they did that. And I know they struggled early with Western, but then they got back out there. I think once football took over, then it was just football again for those guys.
Against Western New
Mexico. Yeah. But what a game this is going to be. Number 2 against number 12. And, Luke, I think you said Commerce was this close to being number 1?
Yeah. You know, we were looking at the scores, and Midwest or Northwest Missouri State, number 1 team in the nation, obviously won a lot of championships. They scored with 7 seconds left in their game to go on and defeat Central Missouri. So, yeah, Commerce was 7 seconds away from potentially being number 1 in the nation this week.
I bet Colby's Cartel had his Twitter just, you know, updating and refreshing every 5 seconds, checking to see that score.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it ought to be a heck of a game.
It should be. I think one big difference to look at from this year, from last year's game with Midwestern State and with Texas A&M Commerce, is Midwestern State not having the quarterback that they have had the last couple of years.
Quad Coward.
Yeah, he was a really tough competitor, and so Commerce seems to be clicking on all cylinders. I talked to Eastern New Mexico's play-by-play guy before the game and said, you know, hey, tell me how good Commerce is, because they beat Eastern New Mexico up
pretty good.
He said, I don't know if we could have played any better.
Wow.
And he said they're really good.
Yeah, they're not making the mistakes this year that they've kind of made in the past. They're not making the unsportsmanlike penalties, is what Kelly Lee said. They didn't make any turnovers. I mean, they're just kind of, and they got the best quarterback, I think, in the maybe the nation.
A guy that didn't play in high school.
Yeah, I know.
Luis
right?
Perez.
Yeah. And he's throwing 5-6 touchdowns a game. So this, I mean, unless, like we said about Emerald High, unless somebody knocks him off the hill.
Yeah,
right now you can't.
They're the champions.
Yeah.
Until somebody knocks them off, they are the king of the hill.
So good luck to
good luck to both coaches and Colby this weekend.
Definitely. And have a nice, safe trip down to Kingsville
this careful.
Weekend.
Well, we're not driving. We're flying. So
yeah, that's good.
It's a little better.
Tell
that's
the pilot I said fly safe.
Okay, I will, Kale. It's a long trip, though.
All right, so let's move into Big 12 play. Tech, of course, lost Oklahoma State on Saturday night, 41-34 in a close game. Mason Rudolph runs it in with less than 2 minutes to cap off the victory there. Tech, now they've got to go on the road. They play Kansas, a team they should beat. It's never easy to go play at Kansas. So for whatever reason, no matter how bad their team is, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's just a weird place to go play. Teams oftentimes struggle up there. And I think part of it is because Kansas, for the most part, outside of a couple of years, tend to struggle as a team, and it's hard to get your team up. You go on the road, you think you're going to blow them out, and you struggle when you get up there.
Tech put a lot of eggs into that Oklahoma State basket. But this is a Tech team with a chip. That is, it's TTVE, Texas Tech versus everybody this season. And that's the kind of the attitude they've gone with. That's a hashtag, I guess, they're going with. So can they go up there? It's 11 a.m., which I, you know, Tech and 11 a.m. kickoffs never, but it's not home, so that's good, because the student section would still be hungover, so they wouldn't be there. So Kansas, though, yeah, this is a statement game for Tech. They need to go up there. I think they need to get the offense going early with Nick and those guys. And I think Kiki Kuti is going to play.
Kiki Kuti, they need him.
They need to get up there, and they need to get some offense going early. I think they need to come out guns blazing, as he would say, and get about 21-0 early.
I think Tech is going to win. I think they're going to win big. This will be a big bounce-back game for them. But, you know, Kale, that last drive, I got to see the game against Oklahoma State. Difference in just quarterback play, because OSU was covering everyone, and in the past, that's that drive, you would have seen Patrick Mahomes
run around
and make plays with his legs. They weren't able to do that, and so Oklahoma State goes on to win the game. But yeah, Tech impressive so far in 2017.
Yeah, they're going to have to just make the defense did what they were supposed to at the end, and the defense needs a good showing here against Kansas. They need a good showing as a team overall.
Agreed. So they've got a defense has got to really show that they can carry a game.
Right.
And you know, really, for the most part, they did a formidable job against Oklahoma State. Not many teams are going to shut down Oklahoma State the way that they did.
Hold them to field goals when they needed to. Right.
So that was good. And that they got to continue to build on that. A couple other games real quick in the Big 12 Conference. West Virginia travels to TCU.
Big game.
Big game. I think it'll be interesting to see if TCU can come back. They had the week off. If they can hold that momentum after beating Oklahoma State. And then a game that is kind of intriguing as well. K-State travels to UT. And still trying to figure out who this UT team is. They went up. Iowa State, always a hard place to play. They won that one. Don't know how much their offense really can show, but that will be a true test to see kind of what UT's got as we move forward in the Big 12.
Yeah, I've seen Texas play a couple times this year, and their offensive line, they're really struggling there. They've had injuries. They're young, and that's a big difference for them, because I think they have some talented players, but if you don't have the offensive line, then a lot of things can look bad.
Yeah, Texas is so Jekyll and Hyde right now. I just couldn't tell you what to say about them. One week it's like, man, they're USC, and then next week it's Iowa State. I don't know.
Now, did you mention my Sooners?
Oh, are you a Sooner fan,
too?
Oh,
gosh, here we go.
Well, you didn't tell me that. We could have Sooner talk just for 30 minutes there, you know.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm great without Sooner talk. But, hey, we can talk about Tanner Schaefer.
Okay.
We can talk about Tanner Schaefer for 30 minutes. I'll talk about him. No, they're playing who? Who they got?
They got Iowa State.
Oh, that's a W.
It should be.
Should be.
In Norman. If they were traveling up to Iowa State, up to
Jack
Ames,
Trice,
I'd get a little more concerned. Always a tough place to play. But, yeah, I think they will beat the Cyclones. And, you know, it things set up right now where Oklahoma, it should be Oklahoma and Oklahoma State at the end of the year, but TCU is never an easy out. West Virginia is never an easy out. UT, I don't care what the records are, that's never an easy out. So a long road between here and there.
Sure.
But if both teams can continue to win, that should set up a heck of a matchup at the end of the season. Yeah. Bedlam will definitely be Bedlam.
Yeah, and then they have that Big 12 championship game also this year.
Yeah, which I'm still just like 10 teams. I guess that's cool for everybody for the playoff system. But
yeah, there's positives and negatives.
Negatives, but 10 teams is so weird, because what if you get caught playing 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that,
we'll see.
And that could definitely happen.
It could.
That could definitely happen.
They set up Bedlam early for that, and now it's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
But you never know. So.
But, hey, we got to support the Sooners. I mean, that's Muleshoe guy coaching
them. It is. And they got, you know, Schaefer on there, so I got to, you know, get Tanner Schaefer on there.
That's right.
Well, we'll just bring in Luke more often, and we'll talk Sooners. And
are
we'll
you
put
a
out,
Sooner
we'll
guy,
put,
too?
Yes. We'll put
oh,
it,
man.
We'll put out special podcasts just on the Sooners for those in the 806 area.
All right.
just to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to thank our fine supporters here on the Press Pass, Belmar Bakery, All Red Security up in Prairieton, and Jam It's Good. That's Coach Udy out at Bushland.
Who does a great job.
Who does a great job.
Bushland Lady Falcons.
Most definitely. So let's move into high school. First game on the docket, the Rebels travel to take on the Rebels. 5-0 versus 5-0. That's a game you can hear on 940 KIXZ on Friday night. Starts at 7 o'clock. That should be a heck of a showdown.
Should be a heck of a showdown. We talked about Tascosa at the start of the year. We talked about Central, and we talked about Permian. But one team we did not talk about was Midland Lee.
Yeah.
And they're 5-0, and they just beat Midland High pretty handily. So,
pretty handily.
So how good is that district?
Yeah, how good is it? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who's going to get left out? You know, four teams go, which we always like, that's too much. But now somebody good is going to be left home.
Yeah.
But Tascosa is doing what they do, man. They just
– Well, that's why it was good for Tascosa to take out Odessa High.
Yeah, and they didn't – like we talked about last week, they didn't look past them either.
No.
Took care of business.
Which was very possible.
Right. Yeah,
very
exactly.
Possible.
So
I know you were able to catch up with Lance Leonard. And
Mr. Tascosa himself.
Mr. Tascosa. He was able to give you a few thoughts on the Rebel versus Rebel matchup. So let's hear what Lance had to say. So
the great Lance Leonard back with us this week. And you know more Tascosa than anybody, Lance, in town. That's a fact. So, hey, big one. First road trip for the Rebs, Lance. And they haven't left Bibbins this year. Big game for them and Lee, upstart Lee, 5-0. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, no, you're right, Kale. I think the number one question is how Tascosa will handle the road trip, because you have guys, you know, are now on the varsity, weren't there last year, that are contributing. So I think that's big, you know, because they got real comfortable in Bibbins and did a great job, you know, cranking out those wins. So they've scored 55, 42, 65, 27, and 26 points in their wins. Well, if you look at Lee, Kale, they've scored 58, 49, 48, 31 and 49.
Ooh.
So we've got two high-powered offenses. And this is great for us. We can relate to this, Kale. This is a great deadline game. Lee loves to run the ball also. The key in this game will simply be what defense steps up and stops the run, because Lee has a couple of backs, one named Josh Taylor. He had 190 yards against Monterey 2 weeks ago and then gashed Midland High last week for 158 in that 49-14 win. And then they have another kid named Averv Akbar. I probably said that wrong. But all you need to know about him is he had 214 yards rushing against Monterey 2 weeks ago. So they love to get it downfield on the run also. And, of course, you and I know Tascosa, they love that flex bone. And last week, actually, it was the quarterback, Connor McInall, who rushed for 164 yards and two TDs. So teams are starting to take away the pitch, and it'll be up to Connor to on the keepers. And he certainly gashed Odessa High in the second half with the keepers.
Well, you know, we've talked about Lee, or we've talked about Odessa, Permian, we've talked about Central, we talked about Tascosa. Nobody talked about Lee to begin the season.
Yeah, you're right.
So was this something unexpected, you think?
I think so. Second-year coach Clint Hartman, he came up from San Antonio where he coaches at his alma mater for 3 years as a head coach, took over for James Morton, you know, who did a great job with that program. But, you know, Lee, Midland football's been established forever in our era, in our lifetimes. But what they've done this year so far is kind of surprising. Right now it's feast or famine. You still have four of the six teams in 2-6A undefeated, so it's kind of unique.
Yeah, I agree, man. Well, appreciate it, Lance. And real quick, what's Tascosa? What do you think here? What are they going to have? Obviously, run the ball, but what are they going to have to? What do you think is the key there to get this win on the road?
Yeah, I think handling the road, like you and I just talked about, Kale. And then number two is their defense has to really get some three and outs, get them off the field, and not give up the big runs, because you know that Tascosa, and also, hey, Tascosa needs to get their outside pitch game going a little bit. Odessa did a nice job of stopping that, you know. So I think the bottom line is, though, Kale, is just stop Midland Lee's run.
Good deal, man. Well, that's why we brought it to you. That's why we have you here for the knowledge. So, hey, appreciate it, Lance.
Yeah.
So those are the quotes of the great Lance Leonard, your boss.
Yeah. Man, he knows, that guy knows more football than I'll – I mean, he'll forget more football than I'll ever know.
you know, Kale, one thing with Tascosa, talked to one of their assistant coaches, Dale Davis. I know a couple of those guys pretty well. Dale and Derek Gault work on the offense.
Derek Gault's a great guy.
He is a great guy, great coach. And one thing Dale told me this year is he said this was the first year in several since he had been at Tascosa that the entire coaching staff was intact from last year to this year. And that makes a big difference, especially on the high school ranks. They are rolling. Coach Blunk does a great job, but his staff doing a great job as well. And yeah, they're a machine right now.
Oh man, they do. They look good. And like he said, that Mackinac kid kind of knows how to run that offense inside and out. And I'd like to see him throw it a little more if they could. But man, they
it's
just
similar to what we saw Saturday, Eastern New Mexico.
Very similar.
I'm gonna take Tascosa in this one, man. I just don't know if the Rebs have played enough. The Midland Lee Rebs. I don't know who they really played, but I like Tascosa. I think they're just real physical. I think their defense will step up in this one. I'm going to take the Tascosa Rebs.
I would second that one. I think Tascosa, going deep in the playoffs last year, they bring back a lot of that playoff experience. This is going to seem like a playoff game to them. I'm not sure Midland Lee's Rebels are quite ready for that. And that flex bone is just extremely difficult to shut down. Now Connor Mackinall has proven that, hey, I can run the ball too. I don't have to always pitch it out there. So now there's two things that the Midland Lee Rebels have to watch out for, and I just think that will make the difference. You know, the game may be over in 2 hours, and it may be 42-38, but I really think Tascosa's defense is better than maybe they get a little bit of credit for it. It wouldn't stun me if they won this one by two touchdowns. I'll go out on a limb.
I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah, Tascosa wins this one close.
So that, like I said, that's Tascosa Midland Lee. That one, 940 KIXZ, Friday night at 7 o'clock. Dipping into the District 3-5A, the crazy race that it is.
Man, it got even crazier on Friday.
It's crazy. First game, Emerald High at Canyon.
Yeah. Is in Kimbrough at 7 o'clock. Now, where can we hear that one at?
That one you can hear on the Texas Panhandle Sports Network. That's Mike Roden and his guys over there do a great job. And you can hear all of the local Amarillo and Canyon schools on the either TPSN or 940 KIXZ.
Okay.
So
that's
where you can hear that one. Well, but that should be an interesting game.
Yeah, you saw Canyon, didn't you?
I did. Last Friday we went to Hereford, which, by the way, you don't go to many high school football games, at least at the higher ranks, and see a game on natural grass.
Yeah,
it was Hereford Stadium's really cool. I mean, you walk in there and it's a little more old school feeling to it. So yeah, it was a great atmosphere. It was great weather. But yeah, Canyon, it was a close game through two quarters, and then in the second half, Hereford, they really exerted their dominance in terms of just the ground game. But so for Canyon this week, this is interesting. This is their first home game. This is the first time that Canyon Eagle fans will be able to see their team play at Kimbrough Stadium because they've had all away games and they had a bye week. So, they're going to have a good crowd. Canyon will. And of course, Emerald High will bring over a good crowd as well. This is going to be a tough one, though, for the Eagles, guys. Canyon is a young team. Canyon is not as big up front on the offensive line and on the defensive line from what they've had in the past. And so they still have some good pieces. Lawton Reichel did a pretty good job from the quarterback position, made some plays. Rowdy Vaughn's a talented running back for Canyon, but just not as much depth as what they've had in past years. And, of course, Emerald High, after their big win last week against Caprock, we expected them to get back on the winning side of things after having a tough non-district schedule.
Emerald High was the most impressive team after the first week of 3-5A, in my opinion, just because Caprock is really good, and they have really good offense. And it was dreary weather, but that's what Emerald High is built on. It doesn't matter what it rains, snow, shine. They could play in anything, but – Nathan Betts is one of the better unknown quarterbacks in this area, and he doesn't get to throw it enough. I think if you got to see him throw, we would know him a lot more. But, well, he handles that wing tee so well. And then Bedwell at fullback and Maynard in the backfield, and their offensive line could just bully anybody they want to. And their defense is really good, even without Matt Mirasak. So they come in and they handle Caprock. I was really shocked because I think Caprock's a top-tier 3-5-A team. So in Emerald High just kind of went in and said, hey, look, we're 0-3. But we're here.
Don't panic.
We're still right here. We're still upper echelon kind of team. So I'm with you. I think Canyon is going to struggle a little bit.
I think they will struggle a lot. I think Emerald High takes this one very easily.
Yeah.
I think it's just literally a mismatch both on paper, and it's going to be a mismatch on the field. Canyon's too young, and Emerald High, you know, we talked about it going into the district play. They were maybe the best 5A team with no wins heading into district, and they showed that last week. They beat a good Caprock team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked last week with Clint and how – you know, nobody in this district is going to come out without at least one loss.
Right.
I'm going to go on the record now and tell you Amarillo High goes undefeated in district.
Ooh.
There you go.
Bold.
I think they will, and that's no offense to Hereford. I just think Amarillo High, they impressed me a lot. They played Tascosa really well. I think Tascosa is really good.
Yeah.
They played them close. They came out. They dominated a Caprock team for the most part that's, I think, really good for 5A, especially up in this area. I think Amarillo High is just a step above everybody
else. Well, that's a great – I mean, it's going to be hard to challenge that, Craig. I like the bold selection.
And just last thing, talking about Canyon, I think their coaching staff will get them. They'll improve
they've got one of the best.
On, Coach Blake Bryant and Todd Winfrey and those guys. But Craig said it's a young team. And so they're gonna take some lumps, and it could be this week could be really tough at home against Amarillo High.
I mean, their best player is playing for the number two team in the country, Commerce.
Yeah,
and he's playing.
Yeah.
So I mean, when you lose a guy like
Douglas,
yeah, I mean, it's impossible to replace a guy like that the first year, and you got a young quarterback that I really like, by the way. He goes to those aired out camps, Lautenreichel.
Yes,
I love that kid, but they're a year away, and I think the coaches know it, so they're just step by step learning as they go, but. Yep. Like I said, I like the Amarillo High team, so I think we're all going with the Amarillo High in this one.
Yep, okay. Go with Amarillo High. Tonight, there's a game. You can hear it on 940 KIXZ. Randall takes on Caprock, and Randall really struggling on the offensive side of the ball. I think Caprock is just going to be too much for him.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Luke.
Well, you know, Randall has – it's been hard to figure out what Randall really is this year. I mean, you know, they had the win a couple weeks ago, surprised some people, beat Lubbock Cooper.
Yeah, to open the season.
Yes, and so this will be interesting. You said it, Kel. You've been very impressed with Caprock, which then that says a lot about Amarillo High with the way that they won last week. But, yeah, Randall's got to find some offense. The defense has been carrying them.
Defensively, they're sound.
Yes, very sound. So, yeah, it could be tough. And where is that one?
That's at
Bivens.
Bivens, okay. Yeah. And I think Randall, you're right, man. They just cannot get anything going. They got that sophomore playing for him. They came in this week. He had a big touchdown run.
Jayshon.
Yeah, and that nice to see him. He's a big kid, 6'2". Mm-hmm. He broke one against Dumas. Landon Nix, I think, is a good wide receiver. I mean, a great quarterback, but just doesn't have the weapons. It seems like his offensive line hasn't played the way I thought they would. Defensively, I think Colby Russ is as good as anybody in the area. But right now, I think their identity on offense is just not there. It's kind of like WT. They're just struggling to find one. And when you just don't have any rhythm, it's just hard to find wins.
The key for them, they're going to have to try to keep the football.
I mean, yeah, because Caleb King, if they don't control Caleb King too, that thing could get out of control for them again. You know what I mean?
Right. So.
In a hurry. Next game up on the schedule, the Demons come to town. They took on the Upstart Paladuro Dons. Coach Fisher and his group there. That one's a game you can hear on TPSN. That's going to be a tough game for the Dons. It'll be a real good test. They picked up their first victory against Plainview. Dumas is a whole different animal coming to town.
Yeah.
I still think they're the dark horse in the district.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
I love Dumas. I love the defense at Dumas. I love the sophomore, though, at Paladuro, Dondre DeGreat.
Yep.
Good-looking kid, and now that Fisher's gone with him, I think that's really got Paladuro going in the right direction. Now they can build on what they want to do as an offense and as an identity, and their defense is going to come along as it goes. Now, will they be able to stop Noah Quintanilla and Paul Hernandez on offense? I can't tell you that. I don't think so. And Paul Hernandez, man, the guy's just a little animal. He's just everywhere on the defensive side of the ball. Lee Passport told me against Randall, he was just making plays, play after play. Just guys, just a little go-getter. I don't mean little in a bad way. Not real tall, but just kind of just fierce, you know. And Aaron Dunham loves him. Says he's just a playmaker. The defensive coordinator at Dumas. So
it took him a while to get going.
They
but
did.
In that fourth quarter, they exploded.
They
on
did.
Randall.
And Dumas is a good, solid, sound football team. I expect them to be 2-0 at the end of the night.
I agree with you, Kale.
Yeah, I would agree also. And last game out of District 3-5A, Plainview. The Bulldogs travel to Hereford to take on Darren Sproles and the Hereford wife. I mean, Seth Dixon.
Guys.
That guy's incredible.
Incredible. I'm watching the game. He texted me. It was his birthday present. I was sending Kale some videos.
WWE videos, right?
Yeah, my wife's like, what are you doing? You're videoing. I'm saying, well, I'm sending Kale his birthday present. I'm sending him some videos of the Hereford Canyon for some highlights. But that's the guy that stood out to me, is number 21.
He texted me, goes, this 21 is really good. I go, Seth Dixon, man, he's the real deal.
Yes, because not only is he shifty, but he's tough. I mean, there's one play in the second half when Hurford is driving. They get close to the goal line, and he went through three different Canyon defenders just breaking tackles. So he's really good, and Hurford's really good as well. Hurford is big. They're big up front on the offensive line. They're big on the defensive line, and they run that option well. The quarterback does a good job. You know, made some
– Dodge Delosier. Yes, he's one of our better quarterbacks.
Does a good job with the play action. He can throw the football as well. So that's going to be a tough matchup for a lot of teams if Dixon gets the ball, gets the running game going, and then they can throw off.
We haven't seen him in person yet, but how big is this line?
They're big.
Physical kids?
Yes, they're very physical. They push the pile. You know, Canyon was struggling with that, and that's what you saw is the, you know, it was 14-14 at halftime. Second half, if you're a power running team, we saw it with Eastern New Mexico this last week, you get to the fourth quarter, the defense just gets tired.
Wore them out.
Yes. I mean, you're going 7-8 yards a pop on the ground.
So you think Hurford's legit, ready to be here?
I do. I mean, I think that you've got it. You know, they were preseason. I looked at the Pigskin.
Oh, yeah.
They were seventh.
Yeah, that's Lee Passmore, not me, by the way.
Well, defense of Hurford in the past, I mean, I've done Hurford games in the last several years in high school broadcasts. They haven't been very good.
I'd like to throw Lee under the bus.
I started to say, Lee, that the bus that just ran you over, it had Cale Steed on it. It was honking big and loudly.
I love Lee. I'll sit by him every day. We love Lee. So.
But, no, he's got a good team. He's got a solid team this year, Coach Delosier does. So, yeah, look for Hurford to do good things.
That's awesome to hear. And he deserves it, especially with that – they're young. They're all junior sophomores. And that number, you know, that snapshot day is coming up, boys, and that number is on that 4A level. Think of those guys back in 4A next year.
Yeah.
That could be
interesting. They got a talented receiver on the outside as well, number 22 for Hurford.
You were telling me about him.
He made some plays for them as well in the passing game.
That could be big moving forward for them.
Surprise team of the year right now for me.
No question.
Yeah. And they've got a lot of home games, don't they, this year? I think they've got the schedule sets up to where
I think at least six. Yeah, so that's good.
All right, let's drop down to the 4A ranks. Light schedule, and pretty much it's a light schedule throughout the area. Lots of bye weeks. I know, like, District 2-2A, none of the teams play. So you see a lot of that. Borger, the Bulldogs travel to Sam Bass to take on the Stratford Elks. Could be a long night for the Bulldogs in that one. Pretty good game going on out of Bushland. Leveland, the Lobos will come to Bushland and take on the Falcons. Colton Moore there. Another Gerber kid at Leveland.
Yeah, Chris Gerber. And he's got – I do Bushland's caps each week. So Colton last week goes, 551 and 7 touchdowns. Well, Chris Gerber who's taken over for the all-world quarterback Nick Gerber, who's at Tyler Junior College. Chris Gerber has 800 passing yards and 800 rushing yards. And in last year's score was 54-48. So we might have one of these. Bushland might have another one. Let's put the spread at let's put the over at 110 this week.
110?
Yeah, let's go 110 this week.
Bushland
let's
games are like Texas Tech games.
Oh, they're, yeah. Unless they're at 5.5 hours, though. They're more like 3.5. But yeah, Jimmy Thomas was talking to Jimmy on the phone doing the capsule on Monday, and he's like, man, these kids, it's down districts wearing me out. I'm 100 years old. I don't know how long I keep doing this, man. Because listen to this non-district schedule. Canadian, Pampa, Borger, which scores points on them. Paladuro, Caprock. It just goes on and on.
That's good for them.
Oh, it's great for them. And they're healthy. He just wants to get out of this thing healthy right now. I mean, he wants to win, obviously, but, man, I mean, you know, you're running. Colton Moore's doing. He's playing secondary, too, by the way. So
in that district, just asking you guys, Bushland and – I mean, who's the competition in that?
Oh, Lubbock Estacado is in there. Perryton's struggling right now, but yeah, Lubbock Estacado, I think, is in Brownfield's a good team too.
Yeah,
so it'll be an interesting, challenging district one.
That'll be a tough one. And the Gerber kids coming to town. You know, one thing that I don't think a lot of people understand about the Gerber kids, their dad is a Nazareth native.
Right, that's
Sid
right.
Gerber.
Yeah.
So good kids too. I've met them before. Just really, yes sir, no sir. Gotta love seeing that.
I like
great
Nick
athletes.
A lot. I haven't met Chris, but I like Nick a whole lot.
Good kids there. The Harvesters, they go to Dalhart, second time in 3 weeks. This time they actually play the Golden Wolves up there.
Right.
Took on Raton a couple of weeks ago. They'll take on Dalhart. And Snyder makes the long, long bus trip all the way up to Perryton to take on the Rangers. Jeez. Unfortunately, that may not end well for the home team.
Yeah, because, you know, Snyder just hung within 5 points of Leveland. So, yeah. And I hope Perryton –
tough game for Perryton.
And let's give a quick thought to Nathan Hug. You know, the quarterback of Perryton got knocked out last week. Mm. So – he's okay, though. He was up moving this week, so let's just hope all the best for that. He's a great kid. So
definitely. To the 3A ranks, WT High takes on Spearman in Spearman.
Always an interesting game for me. That's a rivalry, kind of a rivalry game there.
Two towns that are fairly close together. Mm-hmm. And then Vernon, they'll make the long bus trip up to take on Canadian. Here, you can hear that game on the Canadian Sports Network. That's Russell Gadboy and Stephen Forrest.
Two of the best.
Two of the best. Got to love those guys. And during halftime of that game, they're going to honor the 2007 and 2008 state champion teams. So,
I can't believe it's already been 10 years. I was at that state title game in 07 when they beat Allegiant Fields, and I was thinking – that East Texas Speed, it was 13-0 quick Allegiant Field. So I'm like, Canadians going to get hammered, 56-0. And here they roll off 33 second quarter points. And, you know, growing up there, I'm like, golly, I never thought I'd see Canadian win a state championship at anything. You know, maybe like, you know, track, girls
they've
track.
They've won a few
yeah,
now, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, just a few. But also Chance Cook's going to be in town, the Oklahoma State guy who made a great tackle against Tech. And I think they're going to have him on the halftime show doing an interview through the game. So you want to hear that, hear his thoughts on the Oklahoma State season. So far, great kid. Those Canadian, too, don't want to overlook Vernon before that Childress game next week.
Right. Although that should be a game. That'll be a huge game. Should be a game that can beat the Lions.
Childress on the new turf.
Okay. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. That would be awesome.
We should do our podcast on the turf.
Hey,
at Childress next week.
Hey, maybe we can convert the field and Happy can play first, and then they can do, you know.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Ty and see if he'll do it. All right,
I'm with you.
Moving on down to 2A, Wheeler travels to Panhandle to take on the Panthers, and Farwell goes down, and they will travel down the road to take on Post. And then looking at the six-man layout, Hart, the Longhorns travel to Happy. That's a game you can hear on the Happy Sports Network.
Who calls that game?
Somebody.
Yeah.
Jennifer Sperry does. That's
Jennifer
my wife.
Sperry?
Yeah. Yeah. She does a color commentary. I do the play-by-play.
How long will that game go?
That game will last about an hour and 15 minutes, and we'll be over at halftime.
Yeah, that's
Craig,
right.
I keep up with Happy. I get my weekly updates with Happy because my daughter, she's a fifth grader. She plays basketball, and one of her teammates is from Happy.
Oh, okay.
So yesterday I was talking to the dad, and I said, have you guys any competition yet? Not much yet, but yeah, he's already saying – we're going to be hopefully healthy going into playoffs. Happy, just great season again for them.
Yeah, it's going to set up. If they can get past White Deer, and I don't want to look past White Deer.
No.
And I think White Deer and Nazareth are going to meet in the area round. Whoever wins that one, I think, meets Happy in the state quarters. If Happy can win that one, it's Borden County. And just real quick, Borden County, two guys up front, 6'4", 285, Braxton Barnes, and Zane Allen, who just moved in as a transfer, 6'4", 244. And the folks at Nazareth told me he can flat out fly for a big man. That sets up a huge matchup. Happy goes 6'4", 205, 6'2", 225, 6', 235. That's big boys
That's
for six-man
really
football.
Big.
I think Booker's coaches are calling right now, going, can I borrow a few of those guys, please, play on the offensive line?
So. Wow.
So that will set up great. But, the Cowboys, they defeated Kroll last week, and they still didn't have one of their all-state guys in Miguel Mata, who hopefully will be back in the next couple of weeks.
I've still got to get out and watch a six-man game. I haven't. You know, I'm from the state of Oklahoma. We have eight-man in Oklahoma. I played 11-man for the Dusters. But, yeah, six-man football, I got to get out there.
And
Happy's where I'd like to go see
it's
a game.
Fun. It's fun. Come down and watch White Deer and Happy in a couple of weeks. That'll be a great game.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be a great game. Miami and Headley, both teams winless. They play this week in Headley, so that'll be a good matchup there. White Deer travels the road up to Follett. Never an easy place to play. It'd be a good test for White Deer. They're our hardest test of the season. We'll see if they can remain with that unscored upon streak in that game.
Shutout streak, 288-0 so far.
So that'll be interesting. A big game, I think. San Jacinto Christian travels to McLean.
Very interesting game.
Very interesting game. Like I say, I saw San Jacinto Christian in a scrimmage. They're the real deal. That's a good little ball club.
You like them.
McLean's a good ball club. That's going to be a really good six-man game, I think.
Yeah.
Nazareth goes down to take on Crest, the Kangaroos there. Another big matchup. Valley travels the road down to Kroll to take on the Wildcats. I think Valley takes that one, but they definitely will have to watch the pass there with Skylar Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Silverton still undefeated. They'll travel down and take on Lorenzo. The
5-0 Lorenzo Hornets.
5-0 Lorenzo Hornets.
Coached by Kevin Roberts.
Exactly.
Great job.
So that's going to be a good matchup there. We'll see exactly what Silverton's got in that game. Groom takes on LaFours, a little close town rivalry there, and Holy Cross travels down to take on Laz Buddy. So that's the games. A light schedule this week in the Texas Panhandle, as most teams are getting ready for district action. So a lot of teams, like I say, had bye weeks heading into this one. So that's going to wrap it up for us. Luke, we appreciate you being on here at the show with us.
We'll have to have you back, Luke. Did a great job, man.
I love it. Like I said, high school football, you know, people ask me if I miss doing the high school games. Yes, I do, without a doubt. Just stay really busy. But I love – Texas high school football and try to get out and watch as many games as I can.
It's definitely worth it. And you and I talked about it. These are 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. Go out there.
Oh, yeah.
Be positive. Be supportive of those kids. They've got a lot of pressure on them, but really back them. And you just got to, especially in the Panhandle, the support these teams get. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So that's going to do it for us. It's the Press Pass for Thursday, October 5th. We hope everybody has a wonderful weekend, and we will catch you again on Monday.
TV, sunset done changed ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation.